As it is the start of the season of Lent, we're starting a new series today. Each week during Lent, we will look at the last words of Jesus. These are a traditional collection and ordering of the final sayings, so it's not individual words so much as sayings of Jesus from the cross. And so each week we will take one of these little sayings at a time. All four Gospels give us bits and pieces of these sayings. Some of them are in multiple Gospels, others in just one Gospel alone. And as we do this, we will come back time and again to the cross itself, to the experience that of Jesus, the meaning of crucifixion. But also it's important, I think, to recognize right from the outset that the fact that Jesus said anything at all from the cross is remarkable, and perhaps why the church has taken such stock in these final words. So let us now listen together to God's word as it comes to us from Luke chapter 23. Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, as we hear these ancient words, these words that Jesus spoke from the cross, that you would give them new life for us, that you would speak to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You've probably heard of loan forgiveness. This is something that's become a lot more common as the burdens of student debt have been growing in our society. The federal government has a couple of loan forgiveness programs. One of them is called Public Service Loan Forgiveness. In order to receive this forgiveness, you have to work for a government or a nonprofit. You have to make 120 qualifying monthly payments under a qualified repayment plan while working full-time for a qualifying employer. There's also a teacher loan forgiveness program, which offers loan forgiveness to some, to teachers who teach full-time for 5 complete and consecutive academic years in a qualifying low-income school. The Presbyterian Church has a loan forgiveness program for its pastors. It's called Loan Forgiveness for Pastors. You have to have a Master of Divinity from a qualifying theological seminary. You have to be an ordained minister in the PCUSA. You have to have qualifying educational debt. You have to serve a qualifying congregation with 150 members or fewer. You have to serve as a part-time installed pastor or as a full or part-time temporary pastor, and you have to demonstrate financial reliability. So maybe you heard the through line that I tried to emphasize as I went through these debt forgiveness programs, that word, qualifying. There are conditions that have to be met in order for this forgiveness to be made real. There are obligations that have to be fulfilled in order to be forgiven. Now, at first blush, it may sound like a strange use of the word forgiveness, but if we think more about it, we might realize it's not strange at all, because this is exactly how we tend to treat forgiveness. Why should I forgive? So-and-so isn't sorry. I'm not ready to forgive. My life is still in ruins while so-and-so is doing just fine. I will forgive when so-and-so apologizes, promises not to do it again, tries to make things right. In short, they need to be qualified. They need to meet certain conditions. They need to fulfill certain obligations. And sadly, we often apply the same logic to God's forgiveness. We imagine that God forgives if, that God forgives us when we fill in the blank. that God couldn't possibly forgive them who have done that. But we should ask, is it really forgiveness if you have to be qualified? Is it really forgiveness if there are conditions that have to be met? Is it really forgiveness if there are obligations that must be fulfilled first? Are we talking about forgiveness at all, or are we talking about something else? Because there is something else. There's another word to describe all of these things that I have been laying out that we call forgiveness. And that word is reconciliation. The coming together of two parties. There is a mutuality involved in reconciliation. There is a meeting halfway, which much better captures all of the things that I have described that go under the name forgiveness. So if none of that is forgiveness, then what is exactly forgiveness? Jesus is put to death on a cross between two criminals. This was not a rose between two thorns. This was three thorns. Three common criminals suffering a common method of execution in the Roman Empire. Jesus was not the only one to be crucified. Crucifixion, in fact, is very similar to the practice of lynching in the Jim Crow South. It was incredibly common, devastatingly common, and it was intended to send a message to the populace, at least to the oppressed portion of the populace. A message of what happens if you stand up too high, what happens if you speak up too loudly, or begin to threaten those in power. The Romans reserved crucifixion for those who needed to be made an example of, for those who demonstrated some kind of political threat or other kind of threat to Roman power, Roman social control at that time. Crosses where these criminals hung were not in some out-of-the-way place. They were on the roadside where people would see them, where people would, like a lynching, gather around to watch, to treat it as a spectacle. And so Jesus is on the cross with criminals, with two other people, common criminals. They're just the latest batch of those that Rome has decided have no right to live. Jesus has been conspired against by the religious authorities. He has been betrayed by a close friend and confidant. He's been handed over to the Roman authorities by his own people. He's been subjected to ridicule and abuse. He's been offered up to the whims of an angry mob. He's been affixed to a wooden post with a crossbeam by nails through his wrists and his feet, so that he will hang there and die of a combination of exposure and asphyxiation. And he's doing this in the full view of the public. And in that moment, after all of this, Jesus speaks again. Not an easy thing to do from the cross. He has to raise himself up to allow wind to move through his lungs. And he speaks and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This is forgiveness. This is what forgiveness looks like. This is the paradigmatic example of forgiveness. Jesus, in this moment, is not waving a divine magic wand, finally exerting the divine power that he's been holding back all this time that has allowed him to be crucified on a cross, and suddenly he's going to wave that and sprinkle pixie dust on people, and magically they're forgiven. This is not what he's doing on the cross. Jesus is revealing something on the cross. When he says these words, he's showing God to us. He is showing us the nature of God's forgiveness. And he's doing it for all to see and hear. He's breathing what is an agonized prayer. He's praying with his dying breath, "Father, forgive him." This is not an act of power on Jesus' part, the way that a lender has power over a borrower to say, "Yes, I'll forgive your loan because you've met all of my requirements." It's not the power of someone who brings their offender to their knees and then forgives them. This is not, on Jesus' part, an act of power saying, "I am holy and these are sinners and I will forgive these sinners." This is an act of self-giving. It is a giving without any regard for reward or return. It's a self-expenditure with nothing left to gain. Mark Twain captures it beautifully when he says that forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Here, Jesus is crushed. And yet, he's pleading forgiveness for them. Who are they? On whose behalf is Jesus going to God in prayer with his dying breath? Is it the religious authorities and the pious mob? Is it the friend who sold him out for 30 pieces of silver? Is it the Romans who beat him, who mocked him, who paraded him through the streets and hung him to die? Was it the people who gathered around to watch with a mix of pleasure and horror? Was it the people who gathered around to watch in sadness and resignation that this is just the way the world works? Is it the friends who were nowhere to be found? Is it the theologians who centuries later will rewrite this story as a story of divine power and eternal conquest? Is it the faithful who millennia later would imagine that Jesus was talking about me, but not about my unrepentant neighbor? Was it wounded souls the world over who today are trying and failing to forgive? Or was it for those who are not even trying to forgive at all? Yes, all of the above and more. Not because he's waving a wand, not because he's exerting divine power from the cross, but he's showing God to us. He is showing us the meaning of forgiveness. And it looks nothing like requiring that someone be qualified or meet certain conditions or fulfill certain obligations. It is a gift that is freely given without any regard for reward or return and without expectation of anything. And this gift, this particular gift, is its most profound. It is its most meaningful. It's most complete when there are no qualifications, when there are no conditions or obligations. When it is most undeserved, that's when forgiveness means the most. That's when forgiveness is truly forgiveness. That's when we see in Jesus the true meaning of forgiveness. When that gift is given to those who deserve it least, who deserve it not at all. Friends, we are undeserving. We do not know what we are doing. We think we understand forgiveness, but we don't. We think we have Jesus figured out, but we don't. We are perfectly willing to allow God to forgive us, but not so willing to allow God to forgive certain others. We are comfortable invoking the sacrifice of Jesus when it suits us, and ignoring it when it requires too much from us. We're happy to continue in our lives with the kind of forgiveness that has strings attached, and we are scandalized when Jesus would forgive the undeserving. We, you and I, we are unqualified. We have not met any of the conditions of forgiveness. We have not fulfilled any of our obligations, which makes us perfect candidates for God's forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive, for they do not know what they are doing. And by the gracious gift of God, we are forgiven. Let us pray. God, may these words of Jesus resonate for us. May we hear them spoken for us and about us. May we see in Jesus the true meaning of forgiveness, removed from all of the conditions and the strings that we have wrapped around this idea. And seeing the true meaning of forgiveness, may we share that forgiveness with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.